Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back to another week of Reclaiming the Republic. And are you ready to get involved? What is it going to take to actually get you motivated to a point where you are willing to at least contribute somehow? As I was talking to a good friend last night, they pinged me really late. And that's okay, because we hadn't talked in a long time. And we were talking about helping and so forth. And my good friend basically stated that they may not have an extensive email list, but one of the things they can do, they can print things out pretty cheap. They'll be able to go out and literally create like a little flyer and provide information, you know, put it underneath your windshield wiper on your windshield, so going through parking lots and stuff like that. And it's humbling to know that there are people that are willing to do those types of things at their own expense and using their own resources and so forth. And I truly appreciate friends like that. As I said yesterday, and I say this commonly to most everybody that is a good friend, I consider myself a very rich man. I may not have a lot of money, but when it comes to friends, I have a vast array of friends and the resources and just the loyalty and compassion, the empathy, those types of things. It's just incredible. I'm a very blessed man. And so I just want to let you know that there are ways you can actually help in doing things, but I'll get to that when I'm ready to grovel. Let me move forward for the first of who's sponsoring this or the websites that are behind this. Of course, there's the MobiStripPress.com, and then there is ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. And that is where ReclaimingTheRepublic.org is where you'll get the bullet points, as well as the models, as well as the podcast. There's a lot of content there. So if this is new to you, because we've got a lot of new listeners, then by all means, go dive in. Immerse yourself in the argument for Republic Review. Immerse yourself in the process. That way you can speak to it. I can't be in every place all the time. So this requires everybody to become advocates, not necessarily for G.R. Mobley, but for yourself in supporting and defending the Constitution. I'm not looking, as a matter of fact, I tell people all the time, and I'll get into that a little later, but I tell people all the time, I'm ready to retire. I want to go off and do other things. I don't want to do this, but I'm not going to let this epiphany die. And so it kind of goes to the importance of what we're doing. And this falls right into exactly what Jefferson did. And so I'll get into that, kind of like the news at 11 tickler for you, because we're going to get into what Jefferson said. And I'm actually going to create a correlation for you here, but I just want you to know that you are listening to the only show that actually asserts a true constitutional process solution to our crisis that we are living under. I know most people look and go, yeah, this isn't a crisis. We got Trump. Trump will not be king for the rest of his life. And there's no succession of, you know, to his sons and so forth. What we have is a president that is halfway through his term. And if he gets reelected, that'll be great. But if he doesn't, then there'll be a tough row to hoe, because the progressives will be right back to their game plan and moving us off the cliff and into global governance. So that is why this is a very important show. I cannot emphasize enough how important this message is. And it's not about GR. This is not about you. This is about all of us getting everybody on board with asserting compliance to the Constitution. This isn't even GR's idea. The only reason GR has copyrights on this is due to the fact that nobody has ever extrapolated what Madison and Jefferson did. That way, somebody with big dollars and deep pockets can't come in and buy this up and then say, well, that's my idea, and I've decided not to do anything with that. I'm just going to put that away. So holding the copyrights means I will not let this get buried. I will not let this get bought out. This is something that we all have to basically come to the table and be partakers in restoring our constitutional republic. Therefore, if you want to talk, by all means, I don't have a lot planned. I do have some. I've got a lot planned, and I don't have enough time to get through all of it. So I'm going to kind of go through this week. But the number to call in is 215-867-8255. So by all means, give me a call if there's a question you have or you want to discuss something. But like I said, I've got some really important information, or we're going to dive through some citing. I'm going to cite Jefferson. And so we're going to want to pay attention to that. Film at 11, or Jefferson at 11. How's that? Again, this show is dedicated in supporting state legislators who are willing to commit to protecting their citizens from federal tyranny. A part of this dedication of this show goes to those grassroots leaders. Why? Because it's the county and the legislative district grassroots leaders are the chairs of those central committees that are the ones that control their brand. And they need to literally control their brand. They need to make sure that whoever is sitting in those seats in the state legislature are actually doing their job and protecting them from federal tyranny, getting them to sign commitments to literally supporting the auditing of the Constitution. If you want to see the pledges, go to the petition scripts page, and you will find copies of the pledges. I have more pledges to post up there. It's just a matter of time to get those things posted. I don't know where my IT guy is half the time. He's off running off, mowing lawns and doing stuff like that. Anyway, the important thing is the reason why we are committed to supporting those in those positions from this show and from our perspective. The reason is because they are the ones that can actually protect all of us from federal tyranny. 5,445 state legislators across this republic are the ones with the authority to be able to do this. I kind of was amazed by in a conversation with a particular candidate that they thought that governors had the power to do all of that, but nope. It literally rests, and the reason being, and if you remember, if you were tuned in when I was going through the Virginia ratification debates, there was a point of contention because they wanted to understand, because they understood, let me be clear, sovereignty at the government level is in the hands of the legislators. And so they had this real hard time understanding how there could be two sovereigns. How can they equally share the sovereignty? And that was the brilliance of the bicameral legislative body. They actually divided the roles and responsibilities and powers of their sovereignty between the Senate and the House. That is why the states are configured the same way. And the sovereigns in the state are not the governors. The governors are the executives who faithfully execute the law. But they are leaders, and they can champion, and they can apply pressures and work with the counties and so forth. And so I'm hoping that we get governors on board that actually start becoming huge champions of taking back their state and in leading this. And that way, they can actually work with the grassroots people in ensuring that they come up with somebody to replace the loggerheads that are refusing to do their job. I cannot understand how anybody can get elected that refuses to do their job. So, as I mentioned, you can get my podcast on reclaimingtherepublic.org. That would be at the Red State Talk Radio. I also have my local KSBN podcast out there as well. And if you listen to that, that's really focused on the local politics and trying to get local organization moving and so forth. But I will tell you that the primary reasons why you want to download these podcasts is because, first off, this is the only show that is giving you the information necessary to take back our Constitution and getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution. The other reason would be because the content on this show, as well as previous shows, actually reference each other, as well as future shows. So staying abreast, or at least listening so you're familiar with the terms and what I talk about, that's one of the primary reasons why you will want to download these podcasts and listen to them. And the third, and maybe not so important, but the fact is that the content I cover is not temporary, ephemeral, or perishable. The content I cover will withstand the test of time because our Constitution, hope to God, our Constitution will withstand the test of time, that we can actually overthrow the controls that these progressives have on us, that we take back our constitutional republic and restore it to what the framers had instilled in, you know, in 1787, 1789, when they first established our federal government. I will also tell you that I have a video out there. It's on Reclaiming the Republic as well. So go check that out. It's on the Take Action page right underneath my two PDF slides of the presentation that I give on YouTube. So by all means, there's plenty of content, as I've been telling you, on reclaimingtherepublic.org. So dive in and digest. And as you get this, then you'll start to understand what we have to do and why we have to do it. So I'm at a hard break. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. Most people resist change, but how would you like to be rewarded in at least two ways for considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy believes your smile is a reflection upon him, and that is a mutually shared reward between both him and you. Another reward is improving your overall health by working with your dentist like Dr. Tracy and developing a strategy in maintaining your dental health. But how would you like a direct incentive in considering a new dentist? Dr. Tracy and his staff from time to time offer a special referral program. For every new patient you refer who becomes a patient, Dr. Tracy will reward you with $50 off your dental work. Consequently, if you refer five people, that's $250 off your dental work. Give them a call and ask for the details and the availability of the referral program by calling 466-6614 or go to VonTracyDDS.com. Again, that's 466-6614 or sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. And it seems like I actually have a listener out there. I think that's my mother that's tuned in. I'm just kidding. As I've been saying, our listening audience has really been growing. And so I want to cover some of this information in a different perspective, but it'll be some of the same stuff. I think it's very helpful to start looking at things from different angles, because that is one of the reasons why I was able to extrapolate what Madison and Jefferson were doing instead of just thinking, oh, well, they just nullified the federal laws for the states. Absolutely not. If that's what you took away from those resolutions, then you completely missed it, just like everybody else. That was their last resort. But before I get into that, I did set up, and I do have a campaign. I have not put it out there. The website's not stood up yet. Unfortunately, it's going to take me a little bit longer, but at least I've got the campaign started. I'm starting to provide some clarity, and that's it. So if you want to go out to crowdfunding and look for my crowdfunding, it's Reclaiming the Republic. The holdup right now, the big holdup, is getting the bank, and so it's going to take another day or two for them to create this special account. The reason I wanted to go down this path is I'm using Mobistrip Press LLC for the management and the handling of this funds. Even though this is not a nonprofit organization, I want to make sure that I can account for what you're giving and what you're contributing. If you've listened to any of my promotions, I do not make a highfalutin salary. As a matter of fact, I do not take a penny for doing this. This is I'm just trying to get to a point where I am not subsidizing the war and I'm not subsidizing the effort. I know Washington didn't subsidize it. He just basically asked that they reimburse for his expenses. I'm trying to go down that exact same path. It costs money. I can't tell you enough how much I've been able to do on such a cheap process, but for how little I'm spending. I'll just say this, that I don't know if it's been divine intervention or whatever you want to call it, but the Lord had me buy this and buy that and so forth. So the next thing I know is I get done with my books and I get ready to retire, walk away from engineering and the intelligence community after 30 some years. And I'm going, hey, look, I actually can do these things. And I've got these resources to do this. I can actually implement my own plan. And that's what I've been doing and what I've been getting you to hopefully help get involved with as well. That's why I say when I grovel here, you do not have to have a lot of money. If you've got a phone, you've got a computer, you've got a little savvy, you can help. You can get involved. One of the things that you may want to actually consider and start is getting involved in your local party. If you don't like the GOP and you like the Constitution Party, go get involved. Become a PCO, Libertarian Party, whatever. It doesn't really matter because technically the Libertarian Party and the Constitutional Party are just spinoffs from the Republican Party. They're only another faction of the Republican Party. That's why I'm a huge advocate of trying to create a merger effort to where these three parties actually coalesce on the fundamental principles of individual liberty and individual sovereignty. If we can do that and we can get these parties working together, then all three parties can literally start endorsing the exact same candidate, the candidate that has the most constitutional credibility. And so if we can do that, then, boy, we'll be moving mountains and parting seas, because I will tell you the miracles that will be performed will be incredible. With that, so that's my groveling. If you can help, just reach out and send me an email to info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I'm still in the process of collecting the Wyoming governor candidates. And the reason I was dealing with a county commissioner in Wyoming, I was talking with a county commissioner, and the commissioner told me that I probably need to set my focus up high, because what Wyoming really needs is a real leader, because they've got right now a whole bunch of managers running around and they're all managing the progressive agenda. Unbeknownst, because most of these people are Republicans and most people think that they're good guys or good people, and they may be personally good people, but the programs and what they are doing is at the detriment of Wyoming. And this is happening in your state. Regardless of where you live, you're going to find the people that have that Republican label. That's why the grassroots folks have to take this back. That is why we have to start forcing change within these central committees. I can't use the word force, but we have to convince or motivate them to make change so that they take control of their brand. They're the ultimate people that can control their brand, because they're the ones that endorse a candidate or not. And I hope that they start making their standards, a lot higher and doing a lot more in who they're going to endorse. And so I'm working in the vetting process and all of that. I've got a lot to do. That's why I need your help. But I will let you know this. I did an interview with Douglas V. Gibbs. He was going to have me on his KMET show this last weekend. I'll be on it this weekend in Southern California. So I interviewed him, and I will have him play a part of that interview tomorrow. And I think you'll find it very interesting. And the reason why, Doug and I go back to, I think, 2013 when we first met. He brought me onto the radio show with him so that we could have dialogue and so forth. So he's the one that you could probably, blame for having another person with a poor sense of humor behind a microphone, possibly. But he definitely is a good constitutionalist, and even though we go back and forth on issues and so forth, we almost agree wholeheartedly in all aspects, other than there may be some fine nuances or what have you. But that's really just based on, our source of information. As I say, reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. And it's that middle part that causes that, what we've been informed on. And we've read lots of the same stuff. And so his information may be a little different than mine, or my information may be a little different, or our biases may prefer one thing. But again, most people, when they listen to us, you'd think we're arguing, but it seems like we're saying the exact same thing, but using different words and so forth. But it'll be a fascinating interview. I just received their endorsement. He's the president of the Constitution Association in Southern California. And so just received his endorsement. We're talking a bit about what we're doing and trying to get his group involved in this. And if you want to set up a Constitution Association, you create your own chapter or post or what have you, then Doug is the guy to talk to. That way you can kind of create not a grassroots movement, but a movement to help augment those grassroots with actual education and that type of thing, because that it's important that people start learning and getting equally informed. As I always do, and I can't believe I'm almost through the second segment already, there is no sign or news, because I have scanned the news today, and the federal government is not willing or even has any interest in disbanding any of its tyrannical roles, responsibilities, and powers. Well, why is that important? Because it's got to be done. So that means if they're not going to do it, who's going to do it? That's right. It's up to us. We have to do this. And so I have this standing question. I kind of made it a lot easier. And I ask you, why is it that reading our founding documents is so important? Let's talk about that. You want to talk about that? Give me a call. It's 215-867-8255. And I'm going to be reading some of our founding documents from Jefferson. I also want to basically go back, and I want to emphasize this because you're going to watch this play out on the SCOTUS election, or I should say the, not election, the selection and the vetting process for the next Supreme Court jurist. They are looking and they are applying, whether you know it or not, the progressives are applying religious tests. If they start asking about religion, they start asking about your views regarding what they would consider a secular policy. I am telling you, it is a religious policy when somebody asks you, what is your feeling on abortion? And what they're doing is they're basically providing religious tests. And that's where my argument is, I believe, completely reinforced when I tell you that the progressives have their own religion, and it is the secular progressive religion. They are adamantly opposed to Christianity. And if they find out that you have any inkling in a test process of a strong faith of Christianity, then they want to rule you out. So, in other words, they are applying a religious test. And the Constitution says that there will be no religious test ever required for the qualification of any public office. So as you watch this SCOTUS selection and the interviews and the vetting go through, every senator, every representative, actually it's going to be the senators, there may be representatives talking about it, but the senators are the only ones with the responsibility of voting and seating the next jurist. And so every senator that talks about abortion or talks about any form of religious position or religious ideology, what have you, what they're doing is applying religious tests and standards, and they're violating the Constitution. And I'm telling you, get involved, call them and say they're violating the Constitution. They ought to be arrested. I'm at a hard break, and I will finish this thought when we come right back. So please stay tuned, and I'll be right back after this. Most of my listeners understand the importance in having strategic goals, but do you have a long-term strategy for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of your teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth, and many dentists will take your money just to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail, and if you don't have a long-term strategy for your teeth and dental health, then you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain and restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Von Tracy, DDS.com. That's VONTRACYDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so let me wrap up on this SCOTUS selection process. The reason this is important is because just like last time, they drill into your religious faith, they drill into how you practice your religion, and so forth. And it is all about religion. The progressives say, oh, well, no, these are public interest issues. No, they're not. This is a very religious issue. Just like marriage, a very religious issue. The secularists have basically tried to stake claim on that and say, no, this isn't. Absolutely it is. And that's why I assert, and this actually supports my concept, that secularism is a religion. It is the anti-Christian religion. And that's what they've been teaching your children in their indoctrination centers. That way, when the children start hearing terms of Christian or conservative, they've been taught to emotionally associate, here is an extremist that we cannot support. And that is how they've been programmed. That is why we're finding that people that are labeling themselves as a conservative or a Christian or even a constitutionalist, these kids are vehemently opposing and supporting progressives, thinking that, oh, they don't have religious ideologies. They're not stuck on dogma. When actually the fact is they are more stuck on dogma, and they are warriors for that dogma to a point to where if you look at the religious side, or I should say a Christian is what you would consider a tolerant person towards other ideologies. When you look at, help me out here, when you look at the concept of a secular person and what they're trying to espouse, what they're literally espousing is the anti-Christian dogma or the anti-Christian ideology. That is why sometimes they actually embrace Islam and they embrace other faiths other than Christianity. And that's why the school systems are doing that as well. It is a religious ideology. It has its own dogma and it is anti-Christian dogma. That's why this is so important. So watch this play out. If you are a news hound and you watch the news and watch how the interviews will be going with this new SCOTUS selection, I will guarantee you that you'll actually see, if now that you have a little bit more filtering to this, or you know, a little bit way of analyzing what's being said, you will notice that the progressives are focusing and bearing down on the religious factors, which again, they're violating the Constitution. And when they do, I just ask you, the listeners, to send them an email and tell them that they're violating the Constitution by applying religious tests towards somebody that is going to be seated in a public office. And so something under the public trust, that is a violation. And as a matter of fact, by all means, start tweeting Trump and saying, hey, these people are violating the Constitution. Can't they be arrested? Isn't that treason? Yes, there you go. I want to get into one other thing before I get into Jefferson. And restoring the Constitutional Republic is going to take effort. It's going to take time, money, and so forth. What we have to do is we got to get states to intervene and audit the Constitution. And to do this, we have to start ensuring the candidates will fulfill their oaths. And that's why I have pledges. That's why I demand that they get pledges before I even ask you to get behind a candidate and send them some money. That's why I've been asking you to save money, that hopefully if we do get some candidates, you can throw $5, $10, $20, whatever you want to throw behind these candidates to help get them in. Because what we want are champions. We want Davids to be able to stand up against Goliath. And if they're not willing to take that pledge, then by all means, we need to find somebody else to replace them. And that's one of the reasons why I'm trying to work with those grassroots leaders so that they will do that. So that's why returning the focus down to the grassroots and getting them to stop going from the top down guidance and management, but literally take the bottom up approach and ensuring that the people that they're getting to represent them in their state legislators, county commissioners, and these other positions are really representing them and fulfilling their oath of office and meeting expectations. If we don't take back the local level grassroots with the focus of supporting, sustaining, defending, protecting the Constitution and making this constitutionally centric, then we're just fooling ourselves. It's just about personalities, it's about agendas, and it's about managers, and it has nothing to do with leading us and securing our individual liberties and our individual sovereignties. As I always say, if we're not using the Constitution to fight our battles, then we risk almost certainty in losing these battles. That is why it's only the Constitution that can truly defend us as a shield, and we can use it as a weapon to destroy those who are out to persecute us. And so, as I said, I wanted to get into Thomas Jefferson today, and this will probably take a couple of days, so I'll just, you know, meander, I'll use that term, I'll meander through this week in going through these couple of pages with some editorializing, but the point is that the Thomas Jefferson's audit, and I call this an audit because I'm going to go through this, I'm going to prove to you that he actually audited the Constitution, was the first step of what the state of Kentucky and what every state needs to do, but what Kentucky did back with the Sedition Act. Oh, by the way, there is a good likelihood that there may be coming a laws being passed that will start shutting down people with very similar to the Sedition Act. In other words, trying to protect people from these vile things that people are saying when actually it's just calling them out for violating the Constitution or what have you. And so I believe that we're getting to a point where they're going to try to create a control of speech, especially political speech, because how dare you say something that's going to make somebody feel bad, such as somebody that is supporting the LGBT agenda. How dare you do that? You know, they have feelings and they want to start regulating the words that you use. And so as I get into Thomas Jefferson's resolution here, the question I ask, and I, as I always do, I want you to ponder this. Are the words in our founding documents that I'm citing the words of deceit and lies? Or are the words that we have been taught from our progressive education system, our professors and our lawyers, our politicians and bureaucrats, are those the words of deceit and deception? And I will tell you that you will probably come up with a very clear answer that we have been lied to by our education system, period. Now, as I said, Thomas Jefferson responded. Him and James Madison quickly responded. They didn't stand around. And let me also point out that they didn't call for an Article 5 convention to amend the Constitution. What they did was they took immediate action in response to the federal government violating and encroaching upon states' rights and responsibilities and violating the Constitution and the limitations that the federal government was confined to. And so this is the first paragraph, and this is where he actually just calls out, you know, the fact is that the Constitution is limited. You can't do this. And so let me go ahead and read this. And he says, resolved that the several states composing the United States of America are not united on the principle of unlimited submission to their general government. That general government being the federal government. And that's why I use general government in most of my correspondence. But that by a compact, there's that word, by a compact, which is the Constitution, under the style and title of a Constitution for the United States and of amendments thereto, they constituted a general government for a special purpose, delegated to that government certain definite powers, reserving each state to itself the residuary mass of right to their own self-government, and that whensoever the general government assumes undelegated powers, its acts are unauthoritative and void and have no force, that to this compact each state acceded that a state and its integral part, its co-states, forming as to itself the party that the government created by this compact, was not made the exclusive or final judge of the extent of the powers delegated to itself, since that would have made its discretion and not the Constitution the measure of its powers, but that as in all other cases of compact among powers, having no common judge, each party has an equal right to judge for itself as well of infractions of the mode and measure of redress. And so that is why clearly the states have the authority as judges. And I've been saying this, no court in the world has the authority or jurisdiction over those things not delegated. And even the framers are saying this, but we will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you very much. It's that time of year to get that dental checkup and cleaning. I know many of us are creatures of habit, and we tend to settle for what we know, and many of us are procrastinators. I was that way myself with my past dentist, jumping from one dentist chair to the next. From all the hopping, I've learned that all dentists are not equal, and I would challenge you to consider checking out Dr. Von Tracy. I work hard to make a living, and I'm not one to throw my hard-earned money away on just a good dentist. That's why it took me a couple of years to find a great dentist. From the excellence of his staff to the quality of the work, Dr. Tracy is the difference. I know it's time to put standards to our loyalty, so I would ask you to give Dr. Tracy a try by setting up your next appointment with him. Just go to VONTRACYDDS.com or call them at 509-466-6614. Again, sign up at VonTracyDDS.com. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And so right out the gate, what was Jefferson saying? He was basically saying that it is we, the states, that created this compact and created a general government, and that we, the states, did not submit to an unlimited power from this general government, that we delegated to it. And in addition, that this Constitution is what is the measure of what they're supposed to be doing, not this concept that they have the ability to just impose themselves. That's why he used that word, that that it would give them the discretion as to what they could do instead of the Constitution. And so clearly, in that very first paragraph, he basically he sets forth that the standards and powers of everything in that Constitution and not in that Constitution were up to the states and not to the federal government. That if the states want to change that Constitution, they can. They are the ultimate sovereigns over that general government and Constitution. Now, granted, those things delegated, the federal government is the supreme authority, but the states could easily come along and say, you know what, we're going to take this away from you. We can take this away from you. Those things that are in the Constitution. States have that power. The problem is that, you know, there were reasons why Madison and the framers gave them these specific powers, and that was it, so that they could do their job. So the second paragraph of the Kentucky Resolution goes as such: resolved that the Constitution of the United States, having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason. So what he's doing here is he's actually going through the Constitution and saying, here are the criminal crimes that you have jurisdiction over, and this is it. You're making up a new crime, and we didn't delegate it to you. This, my friends, points to the whole Department of Justice and how unconstitutional it is. The federal government has never been delegated the authority to establish crimes and to set standards for crime, standards for punishments, and so forth. And so what he does, because this is a part of the auditing of the Constitution, the first part was auditing the power and authority over the Constitution is to the states. And so this paragraph, he says, the Constitution having delegated to Congress a power to punish treason, counterfeiting, the securities and coin of the United States, piracies and felonies committed on the high seas, and offenses against laws of nations. Now, technically, those last three are actually things that are crimes committed outside of the United States. So when it comes to U.S. citizens and those of us living in the United States, the only crimes they have jurisdiction over currently are treason and counterfeiting. Piracies, that's done on the high seas, and felonies committed on the high seas, as well as offenses against laws of nations and no other crimes. So here's the big point, and the reason why those three things, piracies, felonies committed on the high seas, as well as offenses against laws of nations. The offenses against laws of nations is when a U.S. citizen is outside of the U.S. territory and they commit a crime against that either the law of nations or against that principal nation. What this does is it creates jurisdiction over the U.S. citizen, so that if somebody commits a crime, the U.S. can, you know, in, let's say, France, the U.S. can then go in and say, we have jurisdiction over this, and we would like to bring this person back and try them against the laws of nations and so forth. So it was a way of keeping Britain from being able to impress and basically be the final judge and juror of American citizens, because we were being impressed. They were just basically saying, you're guilty because you're an American, and, you know, we're going to make you live on the ship and row, or, you know, do this hard labor, what have you, or throw you in jail. So anyway, he moves on and says that and offenses against the laws of nations and no other crimes whatsoever. So in other words, they don't have jurisdiction over drugs. They don't have jurisdiction over car theft, over horse thieving, nothing. They do not have any other criminal jurisdiction whatsoever. And it being true as a general principle and one of the amendments to the Constitution, having declared that the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, not prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And he actually has this in quotations. That is the 10th Amendment. So he also throws the gauntlet down and says, look, the 10th Amendment even made sure that you don't have any powers that we did not delegate to you. And so you just can't come willy-nilly and create a crime and then take jurisdiction over it. You only have jurisdiction over those things in the Constitution. Okay, so therefore, this is him again, therefore the Act of Congress passed on the 14th day of July, 1798, and entitled an act in addition to the act entitled an act for the punishment of certain crimes against the United States, as also the act passed by one of them the day of the June, 1798, entitled an act to punish frauds committed on the Bank of the United States, and all other acts which assume to create, define, or punish crimes other than those enumerated in the Constitution are altogether void and of no force, and that the power to create, define, and punish such other crimes is reserved and of right appertains solely and exclusively to the respective states, each within its own territory. Now, I got into this clarification with an individual on Facebook regarding the Civil Rights Act, because this person was pointing out that somebody was, you know, violating a person's civil rights. And I pointed out that the Civil Rights Act is not a constitutional power delegated to the federal government. It doesn't matter if Congress passed the act. It doesn't make that act superior or supreme law of the land. The only thing that makes the Civil Rights Act the supreme law of the land is if the states actually amend the Constitution through the Article 5 process. Now, it is far better for the states to pass their own civil rights acts, which they should, and in making sure that there is no ambiguity, but it should never be given to the general government to enforce those types of laws. The reason being is because they can use it as weapons, because now they can start using this, just like they're doing with the IRS and going after conservative and constitutional organizations in auditing them on their 501(c) nonprofit status and saying, well, we believe you violated that. They've been doing this to good conservative organizations since Obama was elected. And actually, Bill and Hillary Clinton started using the executive branches as weapons against their political enemies. And this is why I'm telling you that they should never be allowed to do this. They have weaponized the government against its own people, especially those who are supporting the Constitution. If you understand who the government is we the people of the several states. It is not the U.S. government. They have a delegated role, they have delegated responsibilities, and they have delegated powers, and that is it. And as Nicholas said, they can't meddle with anything else. And as Madison said, that is it. There is no more. They cannot do anything outside of that jurisdiction. So it gets really tiring when I sit down and I try to explain to people, especially when I'm sitting down and explaining to supposedly a conservative or Republican, that they're telling me that the federal government is supreme in all things. Are you kidding me? Have you not read these things? Have you not read the founding documents? If you want to understand why it's important to read the founding documents, because we have been indoctrinated to believe that the federal government is the sovereign over all things, and that is the biggest fallacy and the greatest deceit perpetrated against this republic. Douglas Gibbs talks about a book, The Seven Greatest Liars Against the Constitution. It sounds like a book I want to get. And it is, you know, I think a great exposure, because a lot of us talk about these things, but he actually just kind of focuses in on just those who have lied that have done all of this damage. So I'm not going to get time to go into any more of these paragraphs. So we've gotten through the first two paragraphs. Go back and read these, please. Go back and read the Kentucky 1798 resolution. You can find it on the Avalon Project. Read what Thomas Jefferson is saying here. You'll realize, just like I did, he is auditing the Constitution and identifying what actual powers the federal government has and what actual powers they can exercise. Well, with that, I'm G.R. Mobley. I'm Reclaiming the Republic with your help. I do need your help, so please tune in tomorrow, and if you can, info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. I'd be happy to have you on board. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution.